We'll start reading there. Maybe about the 13th verse. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That's a lot of love, isn't it? Amen. I mean, that's paying the ultimate price, isn't it? Greater love hath no man. How many do you know that has that kind of love? You might be surprised. Some of them may be living in your house. Amen. They would lay down their life for you. Greater love hath no man than that a man lay down his life for his friends. Hang on to that friends part. Now listen to this. How many like to be a friend to Jesus? Every once in a while, Brother Burns requested I lead that old hymn, I'll be a friend to Jesus. My life for Him I'll spend. I'll be a friend to Jesus until my years shall end. Listen to what Jesus said. Ye are my friends. You like to be a friend to Jesus? Ye are my friends if. Oh my, if he just hadn't to put that if in there. Amen. Ye are my friends if. Now I tell you, amen, I'm this kind of fella. If a fella's ever my friend, he's always my friend. No matter what he does, he's always my friend, because in that short-term and long-term memory, I have an uncanny way, Jim Lawson, of screening out his faults. Amen. Even if he's backslid, you better watch me. I'll be shaking hands with him and calling him brother, just like when he was saved. And I've got some that used to preach that I still shake hands with them and hug their neck and call them brother because they're my friend. Amen. And I want it to be like it used to be. Hey, and if it's not like it used to be, I don't want it to be my fault. Do you? As far as I'm concerned, hey, amen, it's just like it always was. Because I prayed the Lord's Prayer in depth a while ago. Amen. I prayed, Father, forgive me as I forgive those who trespass against me. Hey, I got all my friends back a while ago. Woo! On my part, I got all my friends back, praise God. Hallelujah. I haven't lost a one. Amen. I mean, I'm coming up on my 49th birthday living for God. First part of July, about the time we start this revival with Don Rich, I'll be celebrating 49 years of being saved, Mark Barker. 49 years. Hey, that's awful close to 50, ain't it? 49 years of being saved. I got saved in July 1948. Amen. I ate supper with Pete Rose the other night at Fred's Fish House in Mammoth Spring, Arkansas. Amen. Couldn't find my brother, and him and his wife had took off someplace. And I went to his house two or three times, so I finally just went down to Fred's Fish House by myself. And I was walking in, gathering around, looking for a place to sit down, and a fella walked up to me and said, Brother Junior Collins. And it was Pete Rose. We got saved in the same revival. I tell folks, I played ball with Pete Rose. Amen. And all over the country, they get him mixed up. They walk up to him. They hear Pete Rose say, are you really the Pete Rose that used to play ball with Cincinnati Red? And they get him mixed up all the time. Amen. But Pete Rose walked up. So I just ate dinner with that night, supper we call it in Arkansas, at Fred's Fish House with Pete Rose. And he said, we got saved in 1947. Hey, Brother Jim, amen. If he's right, I'm already celebrating 50 years. But Pete's wrong. We really got saved in 1948. I didn't correct him or nothing. I just left him in his error. Sometimes it's just better, amen, to leave folks in their fog and let them enjoy it, you know. Amen. He said, we got saved in 1947. But we didn't, Pete. We got saved in 1948. And here's how I know, Sister Jackson got up to give the altar call. Amen. Hazel, Sister Hazel Jackson. She is the sister to Zella Johnson, Zella Green Johnson. Amen. And those girls made such an impact on their world for God in that whole country in 1907, 8, 9, that when my mother was born in 1913, incidentally, that's Brother Gerald Green's aunt. When my mother was born in 1913, Zella Green Johnson had made such an impact on that whole country that my grandma Rhoda Robison named her oldest daughter Zella after the evangelist. I thought so many times, oh, if Mama had only followed in the footsteps of her namesake all of her life. The second person on that team, those girls, was her sister younger than her, Hazel. And they made such an impact on their world for God. My Uncle Stanley, I didn't even know it. I found him after I'd been saved for years in East St. Louis teaching a Bible class in the Assembly of God Church. Tickled to death that I found some relatives, Brother Ray, that was living for God. Amen. And so I stayed with him and talked with him and went to church with him and enjoyed his children. And I found out that his son going to church right there in East St. Louis, amen, his wife's folks all went to church right down there in Missouri where I'd held a revival for Brother Hahn. Praise God. Amen. And they'd already sent the news back up. They didn't know who it was. And come to find out when we, just how small the world is. Got it all connected. I was kin to them. And they didn't know it. Praise God. And so we got acquainted. I was tickled to death to find somebody else in a family that was Pentecost. They named my mom's sister next to her Hazel. After Hazel Green Jackson. Amen. Oh, if those two girls had only followed in the footsteps of their namesake and been a friend to Jesus all their lives, what a different story we might have been able to tell tonight, and what heartaches they would have missed. That night, however, Hazel was up giving the altar call. Amen. Brother Bert, Brother Vernie Green, Joe Green's dad, Brother Bert Jackson, amen, married to his sister, amen, married to Joe Green's aunt, and they'd all work, family would work, and make enough money to get enough money ahead to take off, get all the building done, all the blocks of stone laid, take off and pitch a tent somewhere, and the whole family would hold revival, and if they didn't preach, they'd get some other preachers in, had a different preacher every night. I don't know who preached the night I got saved, because I wasn't paying attention. I was wandering around on the outside. Amen. I do remember that Bert Jackson threatened to call the sheriff because the kids were shooting firecrackers outside the tent. And that's how I know it was close to the 4th of July. That's the only time we shot firecrackers. It was the 4th of July. Amen. And that night, I wandered into the back of the tent, a little further up maybe than poor Brother Marion sitting back there, and me and E.W. England, another cousin of mine, was sitting together. And Hazel Jackson said, the Jews have been declared a nation May the 8th, I believe it was. Amen. 1948. Declared a nation, and she said it means that Jesus is coming soon, and that got a hold of my heart. The Spirit of God used that to grip my life That's how I know it was 1948. It was in July after the Jews had been declared a nation. Amen. And I broke the ice, folks. Pete Rose wasn't saved. Amen. E.W. didn't get saved. Clarence Edwards, I walked with my uncle. Clarence Edwards been dead 7 years now. Amen. Died when he's 55, lung cancer. Oh, what a story that would have been if Clarence Edwards had to give his heart to God when we did. He'd have never got the habit of smoking. And he probably wouldn't have died with lung cancer at the age of 55. Amen. Oh, glory to God. We miss a lot of things, bad things, evil things, just by living for God. Amen. I got saved on July 1948, right after the Jews were declared a nation. How can I ever forget? Amen. I became a friend to Jesus. Listen to this. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Amen. You know, it's not the preacher that's too hard for the average run-of-the-mill John Doe Christian today. It's the Bible that's too hard. Amen. They can't stand the Word of God. I mean, they've got to rest it. They got to twist it. They got to turn it backwards. Amen. They've got to try to get hidden meanings out of things that are just as plain as a nose on your face. What could be clearer than this? Ye are my friends if. If you do whatsoever I command you. Hallelujah. Well, you say, Brother Collins, what if we fail? He commanded us to repent. He commanded us to ask His forgiveness. Father, forgive us our debts. Father, forgive us our sins. Father, forgive us our trespass. He commanded that. That's in His prayer. His model prayer. That's in the outline. That's why I told you that I prayed the Lord's Prayer in depth today and got all my friends back. I haven't got an enemy in the world. Not one. Amen. Praise God. I'm almost like the comedian out Oklahoma that said he never met a man he didn't like. Amen. Amen. He said he never met a man he didn't like. Well, I've had some close calls. Amen. But oh, praise God. After a while, that long-term memory takes over. And I remember my friends just like they was when they're still friends. Hey, amen. If people are alienated from you and from God, it don't have to be your fault. You can be forgiving. You can be kind. You can manifest forgiveness and grace. Hey, amen. It don't have to be your fault. Well, glory to God. You're my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. It's the Bible. It's the commandments of the Word of God. Amen. That rub people the wrong way. I mean, there's some parts of the Bible you don't want to preach when some folks are there because it's offensive. Hey, if you can't take all the Bible and go with the flow, there's something bad wrong. If you can't take all the Bible and like it, amen. Hallelujah. Two different guys in the Bible were commanded to eat the book. Ezekiel was commanded to eat the book, and it was in his mouth sweet. When it got in his stomach, it was bitter. Amen. John the Beloved, the Revelator, was commanded to eat the book. It was sweet as honey when he ate it. Praise God. At least when we eat it, if we're right with God, it'll be sweet. Sometimes a bitterness comes later. What bitterness? The bitterness that comes when your family sees you trying to do what the Bible says, and they'll just make it hard on you. They'll just make all kinds of fun of you. They'll down you. They'll do everything in the world against you because you're living for God. And you know what? They're full of the devil and they're not. And they don't like it because you live for God. Devil don't like it because you live. Just have mercy on them. Be kind to them. That's not them talking. That's a devil in them. Amen. That's a devil got a hold of. I mean, that old backslider, he don't like holiness. He don't like the holy way. He don't like giving up the world. He don't like his own, quote, bondage, end quote. Amen. Listen, here's how tight it is. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever. You like that word? Whatsoever? Whatsoever I command you. See, this is his book. He is the book. Did you know John calls him the Word? And the Word was God, and the same as in the beginning with. He is the Word. You don't like Jesus no more than you like the Word. Because he's the Word. I love the Bible. I just like to have them everywhere. I like to have two or three of them. Because one of them, you know, you turn the pages and something will leap out at you a little bit different, you know. Amen. And oh, I just like to have a bunch of them around. So I've got stacks of them here, stacks of them at the house, stacks of them in my briefcase, stacks of them in, I'm looking in my, under the seat in my van looking for my lost keys the other day. Pray about that. Amen. And I found some Bibles I forgot I'd stashed under there. I got them out again. I got that Bible out from under the seat of the van. Every once in a while I preach out of it. It was brand new when I prayed the sinner's prayer with my dad, and he, with tears running down his face, repeated after me the sinner's prayer. And I gave him my new Bible. It wasn't an expensive Bible. It was large print. And I liked it because I just like all kinds of Bibles. And I went back by to see him in a few months. And I was going to read the Bible and pray with him. And I said, "Where's your Bible, Dad? I gave you." "Oh," he said, "I gave that to Jackie." It just disappointed me. Broke my heart. Because I called Brother Moore and told him. I was all jubilant. You know, my dad had prayed the sinner's prayer with me. Amen. In the hospital. And he wasn't jubilant like I was. He said something to the fact with a doubtful tone in his voice. "I hope he gets saved." And I thought he already was. But the old prophet was right. I found out. It broke my heart. Because I thought my dad, he's got saved now. He'll love the Bible. But he didn't get enough to love the Word of God. When I got saved, I didn't understand a lot of things in the Bible, but it made me feel good reading it because I had the same spirit that wrote it. Praise God. And so I read it anyway. And after I'd been preaching for a few years, evangelized a few years, marking my place and starting, I read the Bible all the way through 11 times. The first 10 years, 8 years of my ministry. Read the Bible all the way through 11 times. It'll give you an insight on the things of God. It'll give you an outlook upon God's plan to love the Word of God. Hey, and it's necessary. It's a necessary requirement of being a friend of Jesus to love the Bible. You young folks that's been praying and seeking God, love the Word of God. Live in the lids of the Bible. It's got answers for you. You know the reason some people don't read the Bible are scared of it. They're like the Chinaman that the missionary gave a Bible a few days. He brought it back, slammed it down to his feet, said, "What's the matter? Don't you like the Bible?" Amen. He said, "No. Why don't you like the Bible?" He said, "Because every time I read that book, it kicks me." You got to get in the flow. You got to get to go in the same direction that God's going. And you get to go in the same direction God's going, you'll like the Bible better. Hallelujah. He used to ask the question, what would happen if a thing that couldn't be stopped ran into something that could not be moved? And they've wallowed that and around for a long time. Amen. And so standing at the back door of the church in Barberville, I asked the question of Junior Messer. I said, Junior, what would happen if the thing that couldn't be stopped ran into something that could not be moved? And he said, after he thought for a minute, they're just stuck together. That's all there is to it. Amen. But really, the only thing that can't be stopped is God. And the only thing that can't be moved is God. And God ain't going to run into himself. He's on a one-way street. And when you get in tune with heaven and you get to going God's way, you're going the same direction he's going. Amen. Our church is right here in front of Route 4, and it's four lanes with a median. But there's two of these turnouts here that you can't make a left turn. But a lot of people that come here to church, once in a while you'll find somebody that don't pay attention, and they'll make a left turn right out there in front of the church on them right two turnouts. Amen. And one night a preacher, amen, made a left turn and headed up the wrong side of Route 4 and met a state trooper coming right toward him. Amen. And that'll get you on the right side. Amen. I mean, you don't have to worry about being on the wrong side of the road if you get on the right side of the road. Amen. One way means one way. Don't be like the fellow that's country, you know, and he came to the city and one-way streets. He'd never been on one before. Amen. Somebody yelled at him, hey, mister, you're on a one-way street. And he said, I'm just going one way. But it was the wrong way. Amen. And you get in tune with heaven, you'll love the Word of God. Oh, it'll point you in the right direction. Praise God. Yeah. Oh, we're afraid to read the Bible because we're afraid to give up. Hey, it's going to be better to give it up. If it stands in the way of the Word of God, if it's crossways with the Word of God, if it's contradictory to heaven, don't do it. You can't be a friend to Jesus and not do what he said. Amen. Listen to this. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends. For all things that I've heard of my Father, I've made known unto you. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? Did you know that there's some churches you can't preach Bible prophecy because they say it causes confusion? Hogwash. Preach it anyway. Our friend made that known to us. And the reason it caused confusion, we don't know enough about it. Amen. We've been reading piecemeal. We didn't read it all. We're throwing too many pieces away. Or we're taking the jigsaw puzzle pieces back and cutting them out ourselves on our own jigsaw. How many know that'd be a disaster? It'd come to getting the thing. How many ever put a jigsaw puzzle together and you just thought this piece don't belong here. It'll never fit anywhere. I've tried it everywhere. It'll never work until you needed one last piece. And guess what? There it went. Fit perfect. Amen. Just like it was supposed to. Amen. You know the reason you can't preach all the Word of God in some churches? Amen. Is because people got too many preconceived opinions they need to get in the Bible. I really, all the revelation in the last 100 years, praise God, about prophecy, cannot understand why there is so much darkness about it. When there's so much light that has been shined on our pathway. Amen. I mean, men that wasn't even Pentecost. I'd hate to say that somebody, I mean old Sias, who was a self-taught Lutheran and wrote his 52 lectures on Revelation in 20, 18 something or other. Amen. Way back before the turn of the century, I believe 1826, if I'm not mistaken. Amen. I mean, I'd hate to think a Lutheran had greater revelation on the Word of God and prophecy and the sweet words of Jesus than I do. Amen. You know why? Because he stayed with the book. If you stay with the Bible, you'll get an insight that you won't get otherwise. The Bible is self-explanatory. And every part and parcel of it is Jesus revealed. Amen. Glory to God. I call you. I'm not calling you servants. I'm calling you friends. But I've called you friends for all things that I've heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Did you know that's why he said, I'm sending you the Holy Ghost? He'll lead you into all truth. Did you know the greatest light on prophecy? Praise God. Shine on men's pathway after the turn of the century, after the new advent of the fullness of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. God raised up teachers. God raised up men with helps. God raised up men, praise God, with knowledge. Hallelujah. Sir, I don't read books. I just read the Bible. No, if you read the Bible like you ought to, you'll find that the Bible says give attendance to reading, and Paul said, bring me the parchments. Amen. Yes, sir. I don't read books. I don't read nothing but the Bible. Hey, amen. Everybody didn't think Jeremiah was God's man, God's prophet, but Daniel did. And he said, I understood by books that the time of the captivity was about over. And that's when he started praying in Daniel 9. And God gave him the keys to prophecy for even our future. Praise God. Even beyond our day. Daniel chapter 9. He unlocks faithfully the door to the future. He says there'll be 490 years in Israel's history before Christ comes back and the Most Holy, that's the millennial temple, is anointed. Praise God. And everlasting righteousness is brought in. Amen. 70 weeks. Amen. 7 weeks they'll restore and rebuild Jerusalem. That's 49 years. Amen. Then 62 weeks added to that, the Messiah will be cut off. Amen. And every once in a while somebody will come along and say, the Lord showed me. Now, they're honest and they mean well. But all you got to do is stay with the book and you won't drift into error. Like the brother, you know, that said, the Lord showed me that the first 3.5 years of Daniel's 70th week was Jesus' life on earth, and that the abomination of desolation was Jesus' death on the cross. And I explained to him how that could not be. How that Jesus couldn't be killed at the end of the 69th week and be killed in the middle of the 70th week too. Amen. And but you see, they get around the mid-trib error that I one time espoused and taught and preached. Amen. By teaching that half the tribulation's already over. That was when Jesus' ministry was on earth, and his crucifixion was the abomination of desolation. No, it wasn't. Because he said, when you see the abomination of desolation, spoken by Daniel the prophet, flee. Amen. Run. Pray that your flight be not in winter. Amen. After the crucifixion of Jesus, when he rose from the dead, he said, don't leave. Don't leave Jerusalem. Tarry until you be endued with power from on high. He said, when abomination, desolation takes place, flee, run. Amen. I explained that to my friend. Hallelujah. And he said, I can see that. About 2 years, sitting at the same spot, same chair, same table. He said, I really believe the Lord showed me. Amen. That the crucifixion was the abomination of desolation. No, the Lord didn't show him. It just popped in his mind. And he thought the Lord showed him. Amen. That's how errors get started. Things pop in people's minds. Say, well, the Lord showed me. Amen. When something pops in your mind, just admit, I may be wrong. Amen. If it turns out right, the Lord showed me. If it don't, it didn't. Amen. I'll be the first to admit that I was wrong. Hallelujah. But oh, why don't we want to know more about the precious things that he's got to tell us when he tells us because we're his friends. Amen. You know, he walked with Enoch and he told Enoch things that nobody else knew. And Jude lets us in on it. He said, Enoch the seventh from Adam prophesied, behold, he cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute vengeance upon them that know not God. Hey, we got an insight from Enoch because Enoch was a friend of God. He took long walks with God. And one day, he just walked into heaven and he stayed all night with him. He'd been up there ever since. He's coming back. Praise God. Elijah was a friend of God. And one day, he took a ride with God down God Street. And amen, he saw Enoch and God let him stay up there too. They became the two olive trees that stand before the Lord of the whole earth. And every once in a while when God wants to anoint somebody, he'll turn those golden pipes from those olive trees up there just itching to do something for God. He'll turn those golden pipes on somebody and let them feel their anointing. Amen. And that's how Jozadak and Jeshua, son of Jozadak the high priest, amen. And Jerubbaal, all of them built the temple because the pipes, the golden pipes of God, the two olive trees that stand before the Lord of the whole earth, was turned on them and they were anointed to rebuild the temple with Enoch and Elijah's anointing. Praise God. When John the Baptist was born, the Bible said he was in the wilderness. Amen. And something began to move on him from the time he was conceived, filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. Amen. You know what? The Lord had him plumbed straight from heaven. Praise God. I mean, his plumbing was hooked in to Elijah's olive tree. He had Elijah's anointing. He was Jesus' first forerunner. Amen. That's why Jesus says, Elijah has come. That was John with Elijah's anointing preaching. But he went ahead and corrected any misconception about no future coming of Elijah. He said, and Elijah shall truly first come. That's future tense, folks. Amen. John the Baptist was not literally Elijah. He had Elijah's anointing. God turned the plumbing of heaven on to him, praise God, and anointed him with Elijah's anointing. Amen. Yes, John the Baptist wasn't Elijah the Tishbite. John the Baptist was a high priestly son of Elizabeth and the high priest, praise God. And so he was a priest. Zechariah and Elizabeth, he was a priestly family, priestly descent, praise God, with a special anointing. That was Elijah. Now Elijah wasn't a priest. Amen. But I'll tell you one thing. You talk about the mystery about the red heifer and the mystery of how they're going to start up the sacrifices again in the temple of God. Just wait till Enoch and Elijah get here. I mean, it won't take them no time to straighten it out. Amen. They will put things in order quick. Amen. Even though the Antichrist comes into the temple and sets his image up to be worshipped right during the time of their ministry, they'll be so powerful that they will regain entrance and access again. Right under the Antichrist's nose, back to the house of God. Amen. They'll be calling fire down from heaven, sending drought, curses, pestilence, and judgment until people will be glad they're dead when they die. And they'll have a Christmas celebration and give gifts to one another when they die. Why don't they like Elijah and Enoch? Because they're friends of Jesus. And the world still don't like Jesus. The world still hates Jesus. And if you're going to be a friend of Jesus, just well make up your mind. It's coming. The world don't like you. I'll tell you something else. Don't tell nobody. But the worldly church don't like us neither. Not only does the world hate us, but the worldly church hates us too. Why? Because our life is exactly opposite to the way they're living. Our preaching is exactly opposite to the way they're living. Would you like to be a friend to Jesus? Your life for Him to spend. Live in the Word of God. Walk with Him. Amen. You know some choice men that was called God's friend. Abraham was called a friend of God. He had long talks with God. What's a long talk with God? That's praying. Just talking things over with the Lord. Asking Him. And then waiting till He speaks way down deep. You know, very seldom the Lord speaks with an audible voice. Very seldom. Peter Marshall told about crawling across the field in his home area in Scotland. And how that he knew the way across the moors and he knew where the quarries were. But it was pitch dark this particular night. And he heard a voice, "Peter!" And he thought for a minute, "There's nobody out here, surely." And he walked just another step or two and he heard a voice again real loud, "Peter!" And he decided that it might be of supernatural origin. And so he got down on his hands and knees and started to crawl. And the first time he reached out his hand went over the cliff of one of the quarries. God had spoke audibly to Peter Marshall and saved his life that day. But God don't often speak audibly. He speaks to our heart. Boy, you know it when God talks to you. When God spoke to me that night I got saved, it set up a trembling inside of me. My God, what a shape I'm in. None of my friends are saved. None of my friends living for God. What in the world am I going to do? And the Spirit said, "It's now or never. This is your time." I looked over at E.W. and I said, "Let's go, Dub." Dub said, "Go on if you feel like it." Dub didn't get saved for 30 years. He finally got saved. Some of you met him at my dad's funeral. E.W. England. Amen. He's a preacher now. Amen. I'm glad he made it in. Praise God. Amen. But I went by myself. Oh, what a rumble. Oh, what thunder. Oh, what an earthquake. The voice of God woken in my soul when He said, "This is your time. It's your night. It's now or never." You say you think it was your last chance? Yes. Considering the time I had living for God when I got saved at the age of 14, if I'd have waited any longer, I'd have never made it. I was already steeped in sin. My habits were already set. Oh, I wasn't smoking. I wasn't drinking. I wasn't dipping. I'd smoked the rest of them. Never did get the habit. I'd got sick on a cigar, got sick on a pipe, got sick on chewing tobacco, but never did get the habit. The rest of them got the habit. But that's one thing God didn't have to deliver me from. I became a friend to Jesus. Amen. And we was talking about that in the barber shop there in Thayer, Missouri. My old barber, you know, he's a pretty good Methodist. And he said, "Do you actually believe it's wrong to smoke?" And I said, "Do you believe if Jesus was here today that He would smoke?" He thought about it for a minute and he said, "Yeah, I believe He would." I had him in a corner. And the only way out was to lie on Jesus. He knew Jesus wouldn't. You know Jesus wouldn't. Jesus wouldn't be enslaved by nicotine if He lived here today. Amen. No, he knew it too. But he said, yeah, I believe he would. Some people have got the wrong conception of Jesus. Some people are serving the wrong Jesus. They're not serving the Bible Jesus. They're a friend to the wrong one. The Jesus that's right corresponds completely and fully with the Holy Bible, the wonderful book of God. Stand with me and let's come around the altar tonight. Father, bless our lives and our hearts and our message. Challenge our souls this day, I pray, to be a friend forever to Jesus. Amen. How about it tonight? Jesus will be your friend forever. All you got to do is pass that if you do those things which I commanded you. Come on. Come on, let's go. Come on, let's pray. Is the Lord talking to you tonight saying this is your night? This is your hour? This is your time. Amen.
A friend of Jesus.
A friend of Jesus. You can be a friend of Jesus.
One so weak as I should ever have a friend like this to lead.